Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I'm hoping that we are connected now. I'm sorry for the technical glitches. I have more than my share, I'm sorry to say. In any case, I'm very pleased to have with me today Danny Seeras. We're going to be talking about a number of rather important issues here. It turns out that our recent show with Mike Sledge and Clint Eastwood seems to have provoked a response from them that I want to address. Let me begin by talking about gun control in a general way. We got Barack Obama. Oh, hang on a second. Yes. Barack Obama claiming what keeps him up at night is that he hasn't taken guns away from the American people. It's kind of stunning. He was ridiculed by Americans after he revealed that that was the case by when he was being interviewed by the far-left CBS News journalist Nate Burleson, a former NFL player. Burleson opened the conversation by asking what needs to be done about gun violence. Obama responded by talking about how proponents of firearm confiscation need to engage with gun rights advocates. Part of that work has to be done not just in those communities that already want to do something about gun violence. We also have to actively reach out to communities where gun ownership is an important tradition, he said. Burleson responded, whining, complaining, guns are as common as garden tools in certain communities, as though that were a bad thing. Obama agreed and says America needs to do something about the flood of military-grade weapons on the street. The interview then took a darker turn when Burleson asked about his radical solution to guns in America. He responded, in Australia, you had one mass shooting 50 years ago, and they said we're not doing that anymore. That's normally how you would expect a society to respond when your children are at risk. I believe, by the way, he was indirectly telling us this is why he staged Sandy Hook. immediately following the 1996 mass shooting there, Australia confiscated 650,000 firearms from law-abiding owners. Obama wants lawmakers to run roughshod over the Constitution and do the same in America. Burleson later asked the softball question about issues that most concern him. Burleson, post-presidency, what keeps you up at night, Obama? The thing I'm most worried about is the degree to which we've had a divided conversation, in part because we have a divided media. When I was coming up, you had three TV stations. People were getting a similar sense of what is true and what isn't, what's real and what's not. Today, I'm most concerned about the fact that because of the splintering of the media, we almost occupy different realities. People will say, well, that didn't happen, or I don't believe that, which, of course, is very appropriate. Americans mocked him in epic style. His answer in Guns, Proud Elephant wrote, is he volunteering to help collect them? I would love to see how that works out for him. General Gen X, abolish his Secret Service protection detail first, and I will still refuse. Pam Bible, while he does like his lecturing, he's more than welcome to move there, that is, to Australia, if he's so in love with her government. Annie, come and take that. On his divided answer media, Tosca Austin says the most coddled president ever, with a press corps who served his admin on bended knee. Cranky Pants, we almost occupy different realities. He's definitely working on that. Here's more about the latest of his absurdities. After reporting that point about Australia that I've been emphasizing, a nice rebuttal includes, listen to this. This is this Nate Burleson guy. Gun violence is the number one cause of death for children in this country. What's the radical solution? And you believe there's a larger issue at hand that causes fractures among us in this country? And then we get that response. You know, in Australia, you had one mass shooting 50 years ago. They said, no, we're not doing that anymore. This is normally how you expect society to respond when your children are at risk. We are unique among advanced developed nations in tolerating on a routine basis gun violence in the form of shootings, mass shootings, and suicides. Well, I took a look at the statistics. In fact, there are about 70 gun deaths every year, 70,000, over half of which are suicide. So we're talking about less than 35,000 from gun violence. But notice, the statistics are being massaged by claiming children applies to everyone under 20 years old. When you look at the actual numbers of minors, car accidents are the leading cause of death among minors. Not only that, the overwhelming number of gun-related homicides are carried out by street gangs using illegally obtained weapons, handguns. But the ruling class want working-class Americans to believe horrific mass shootings, which are statistically extraordinarily rare, are the leading cause of death for children in the United States. In other words, one lie after another, after another, after another. We know worldwide, in fact, gun ownership and homicide rates are inversely related. Worldwide, the more guns in possession of citizens, the lower the homicide rate. The U.S. and Canada were preeminent here, except Canada has now taken guns away and homicide rates are rising. But the U.S. has the highest gun ownership, lowest homicide rate. Interesting, in Brazil, when you got the new president, he weakened gun control and the homicide rate dropped precipitously. Gun ownership went up 600% and gun violence and deaths went down dramatically. Now he's been replaced by a manipulated election and they're going to reimpose and you can expect the gun rate's going to go back up. Africa, very low gun ownership, very high homicide rate. Similarly, Russia, low gun ownership, high homicide rate. And remember, when we hear about, you know, who's being killed, all this emphasis on blacks being killed by whites, that's minuscule. That's roughly one-tenth of often how whites are killed by blacks or whites are killed by whites. And it's only about a 55th percent of what is actually happening when blacks killed by blacks. Overwhelming. We also know the murder distribution rate is such that it's in the Democrat-controlled cities where they have this all these gun control laws that are so dramatic and draconian that you have the gangs going wild, killing everyone inside. Chicago is a perfect example. Chicago may have the most stringent gun control laws in the nation, but they also have among the highest homicide rates. I'm going to return to that point in a moment, but Danny, your preliminary thoughts. I mean, this Obama guy, and I'm convinced, you know, that was the kind of reasoning. Australia set an example. You also had in Scotland, you had a shooting at Dunbane where the school children were shot, or at least reportedly so, and they confiscated all the guns. I think that's what Obama expected here. Remember, I've many times reported how just a couple weeks before Sandy Hook, the mayor of Boston was on the show called Greater Boston on the radio, hosted by Andy Rooney's daughter, and he was boasting of his friendship with then-Vice President Joe Biden, and how Joe had assured him that gun control would be a done deal by January 2013. And Andy Rooney's daughter was just shocked. What could possibly happen to cause legislation to pass so fast? Well, the mayor wouldn't answer, but obviously he was talking about Sandy Hook. Danny, your thoughts?
Hello, sir. How's my voice today?
Good. Excellent. Excellent, Danny.
Yeah, I would just like to open up with a famous quote from the great Sheriff Mack, former sheriff of Arizona, did a lot of really good things when he was in office, and his quote is, gun control is nothing more than population control. And when I first heard him say that, I had to think about it a little bit, and it really is true. You know, when you take guns from law-abiding citizens, the criminals can just run roughshod right over the law-abiding citizens, and they can do any crime at will. It'd be a lot easier to do home invasions and carjackings and whatnot if the pesky citizens couldn't fight back and only criminals had guns and the law-abiding citizens do not. You know, we seem to have an example of that in some of the heavy Democrat states where they're punishing law-abiding citizens for fighting back against the criminals. They're trying to take guns away from the law-abiding citizen, person that doesn't even have so much as a traffic ticket, and they don't think he should have a gun, but yet the criminals have buckets and buckets of guns. They're letting them out of prison at a faster rate than we've ever seen. We're seeing convicted felons all over in different states committing multiple violent crimes daily. And the media seems to be, the national media, it seems to be quite silent about this. No one wants to talk about, hey, let's take a look at who the criminals are. I want to know what they look like. I want to know what their background's like. And I want to know why they're carrying a firearm as a convicted felon when they're not allowed to carry a firearm. So his rhetoric is just, to me, is rhetoric of globalism. You know, every country in the world, including Australia today, is saying it's a good thing that the United States has the Second Amendment. That's what's holding the world together. There was a famous Australian podcaster recently was talking with Derek Johnson and a few others and talked about the importance of the Second Amendment, how it was actually the thread that was holding the world together, not only the United States. And he said it was their greatest thing that they've ever done. The problem, anyway, it was terrible how they got rid of their guns in Australia. And they made a huge mistake, and they wanted their guns back. And he was pleading, telling U.S. citizens, don't ever give up your firearms. Of course, the Americans that were on the channel were saying, no, we won't do that. So, you know, sir, it's really hypocritical of what he's doing. He's obviously been part of these false flags. He was doing one a week there for a while when he was in office. And we all know about the Sandy Hook. And, you know, the globalists can't move forward with what they want to do. Next up is they want to control our food. They want to start making it illegal for us to grow our own food. And, you know, a lot of the experts are saying good thing that America. Again, I'm going to go with Sheriff Mack, sir. Gun control is nothing more than population control. I think that's an excellent quote.
Danny, that's wonderful. And can you believe, you know, how deceptive to claim that gun violence is our number one death among children, which requires manufacturing the outcome, applying only to everyone 20 years old and younger, most of the deaths being caused by street gangs using handguns, Chicago being a preeminent example, car accidents being the leading cause of death among minors. If you're actually talking about children, say toddlers and so forth, I would bet accidental drownings or even sudden infant death syndrome might be higher than the cause of gun deaths. So this lying, pants on fire is just disgusting. I know, Danny, you listened to the exchange Brian Davidson and I had with Mike's legend Clint Eastwood, which Paul Hiff had orchestrated. He thought it would be a good idea because Mike and Clint had some reservations about some of the reporting I'd been doing with Brian and with you. They came on and they were full of praise about my research, collaborative research on Sandy Hook and the Boston bombing. But they seemed to think that I and Brian and you have somehow gone off the rail, thinking everything is fake or staged. Here, they even followed up and did a Conspiratards Gone Wild, Jim Fetzer's Raw Dog Deal, part one and two with Scorpio and Sledge. This is rather dumbfounded me. Clint, Mike, and Scorpio discuss a recent debate on the Jim Fatzer, F-A-T-Z-E-R show, and expose the entire thing was fake. Stay tuned for Goodman's book called Nobody Gives a Shit About Sandy Hook, available this fall. Now, that's pretty bizarre. I had previously sent an invitation to Brian about joining me for this debate, which Paul thought would be a good thing. I added here, by the way, a comment. Something is fake since Scorpio didn't show and wasn't even on the program. I sent them all links to my research on New Zealand and on Buffalo, where Brian Davidson, BI, has done definitive work, including shadow analysis showing different parts were done at different times. Let's take a look and compare with their drivel here. They really didn't cite good reason to question any of our research, including that of Danny Cirrus. So I don't get it. Pathetic. So I'd sent Brian in earlier and to Paul, show on New Zealand and Buffalo for Friday. Brian, Paul, who was a regular caller to my show, called in just now and explained he was in a group discussion last night with some smart guys who think both New Zealand and Buffalo were real. He proposed doing a show about this. I suggested Friday, and I'm now sending him links to earlier work on New Zealand and our stuff on Buffalo. Would be glad if you can join. We can make it a Zoom conference call so we can all be looking at the same images and video. You did such sensational work on Buffalo that I'm just a bit flabbergasted that there would be any doubt. Paul can forward this to them with a link. Let me know, Jim. And then I had links to the New Zealand shootings. Were they real or a political stunt? Now, the Raw Deal, Brian Davidson on the Buffalo shooting, that was 20 May 2022. The Raw Deal, Brian Davidson on the Buffalo shooting, 23 May 2022. The Raw Deal, 6 June 2022 on our false flag stage event checklist. Now, I presume Paul forwarded those, Danny, but I don't know for 100% fact that he did. But if they're going to contest New Zealand and Buffalo in the research I've done on both, and much of New Zealand was with Greg Hallett, who actually grew up in New Zealand. I mean, it's just a sensational show you can find on my blog. If you go to JamesHFetzer.org, Jim, the conspiracyguy.com, the 65 shows. It's one of the very first I got up on New Zealand, and you got the whole video, the whole bit. And the reason New Zealand and Buffalo, of course, tie together is because Buffalo was based on New Zealand. You got the perp driving around. He's got a fake gun. It's all painted up. There's no ejection of shell casing from the weapon. He points the gun, pulls the trigger. You hear a sound, bodies fall, no blood, no reaction. In Buffalo, you even had one where from point blank range firing into the skull of a victim on the floor, but it doesn't blow apart like a melon. Just as in New Zealand, you got him firing his car weapon into the windshield of his car, and there's no shattering. I mean, these are so blatantly fake and false, Danny. I find all this, frankly, rather offensive. Conspiratards gone wild. Some of your thoughts before we hit, and we'll continue after the break. Yours.
Yes, sir. Well, you made some really good points. I did listen to that, and it was kind of a cluster, and a lot of people were yelling at each other on that show, but there was no reasoning on the part of two people that were on that program. They weren't really looking at any evidence, and when you tried to point that out, they seemed to get upset and were asking for on-demand evidence per subject, which is basically impossible to do without a lot of research and having that, you know, ready to go. You know, you cited the evidence over and over again. You were talking about even the Las Vegas thing, and he just kept demanding to see the evidence. Well, there was so much evidence that was presented about the Las Vegas shooting. It was overwhelming, and that's all archived on all of your past programs on BitChute, you know, but as far as New Zealand, sir, let's start with that. You know, I looked at the New Zealand thing very closely along with you. We broke the video down pretty much almost frame by frame. And we can see nothing but Hollywood CGI, okay? And when you see CGI in any video, whether it's a shooting or whatever it is, you know it's a fake, okay? There's not any way that half the video can be real and then maybe just half of it was fake. Because of the CGI. Once you find CGI in the video, you know the whole thing was fake. Well, in case of the New Zealand shooter, like you pointed out, the weapons were fake. And when he fired the weapons, we saw shell casings flip out of the gun in some instances and then disappear before they hit the ground. You actually can see them fade because, you know, it was CGI. Again, we can see the air blowing off of people when they were getting shot. No real rounds hitting. One of the most comical parts of the whole thing was the suspect was carrying a shotgun.
Danny, hold that thought. We'll continue this right after the break.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Jenny, please continue with your thoughts. And I'm going to have a lot more to say about these guys because I think, you know, they have to be awfully gullible if they can believe Buffalo was real. I tried to squeeze in a few facts edgewise, such as the big black guy who claimed to have encountered the shooter the day before, claimed they had an hour conversation, including about critical race theory, and he bought him a Gatorade. Scorpio at the time had made the observation, you know, what self-respecting white supremacist is going to spend an hour talking to a black guy about Gatorade? But the fact is, the same guy said the second shot was 1.7 seconds after the first. Now, who in the world is going to believe anything like that? Does that mean that he had a stopwatch and he began clicking when the first shot went off? And how did he know when the first shot would go off? And who in the hell is going to be timing that like that anyway? I mean, there's a self-refutation right there staring you in the face. And if these guys can't figure out that Buffalo was a false flag, frankly, they have no credibility whatsoever addressing any of these issues they have demonstrated. They're incompetence. Danny, it's insulting what's going on here. Your thoughts?
Well, sir, just to reiterate what I was saying, one of those people that was on the show ended up hanging up. I think he was just frustrated. I almost want to say that in some way they're almost like a troll, you know, like a paid opposition or something that came on your show. it was quite strange, actually. But I just want to touch more on about the New Zealand. So what we were talking about is all the CGI that was in the video, and there was quite a bit of it. But some of the most comical things in the video were when the gun was fired, the AR-15 was fired, the shell casing would come out and actually disappear into thin air before it hit the ground. You can actually see them disappearing, and that's CGI. But the even worse, I think, was the suspect had a 12-gauge shotgun in the car, and at least by memory, he fired at least two, maybe three rounds. I don't have the video in front of me. But every time he fired a round, one particular through the windshield at point-blank range in the car with the windows up, first of all, that would have been so loud, the concussion would be something else. But you can see that there wasn't so much as even a crack in the windshield when he fired the shotgun at point-blank range. So anybody, and the guy that was on your show was touting himself as being a weapons expert. I remember he said it at least twice. He might have said it more than that, but at least twice he said he was good with guns. He was a weapons expert. So any weapons expert, you don't even have to be really good with it. You could be good with a BB gun. You would know that when you fire a 12-gauge shotgun, whether it has double-odd buck in it or birdshot or whatever's in there, if you fire point-blank range at a windshield, okay, you're going to see a big shattering of glass. It's going to, even though the glass is laminated, but you're going to see a big, huge hole and a big blaster out the window, okay, on a windshield. He also fired the shotgun directly to his window next to the driver where he was shooting. And actually, I think the steering wheel was on the right-hand side of this car. But he fired it right through the side window and point-blank range. And you can see some smoke in the car when it went off. But again, that the glass didn't even crack. There was not even a fracture in the glass. So, and then I would like to point out, sir, how the New Zealand government made it a felony, I believe, and created this huge fine for any citizens that had that video or to view the video on their computer or anything like that.
$10,000 fine for just having the video on your computer, Danny. And that's because it's like a cartoon. It's like a video game. It's so obviously blatantly staged and fake. Frankly, anyone who thinks New Zealand was real has discredited themselves from being taken seriously on any of these issues because it's a monstrous, obvious, blatant, staged event. Continue.
Well, yeah, just to go to the fine, sir. So there were several people in New Zealand at that time that I was in contact with who saw the video. So people over there knew that this was a hoax, okay? And people in the gun world specifically knew that this was a hoax. I had some contacts over there, and I was asking, you know, almost daily what was going on as things were developing. So they were starting to black out a lot of this on the news. They were trying to get this video. And then the president at the time created this thing where I'm going to call everybody a felon and put you in prison if you even look at the CGI fake video that they put out. And the reason why they were trying to do that is scare people because they wanted to preserve the fraud. They wanted to preserve the false flag. They didn't want people to see it. It was so fake and so over the top, phony, and comical, actually, that they just couldn't think of something else. So they just said, well, we'll just make everybody a criminal and scare everybody with prison if they even look at it to try and preserve the fraud. So anybody, sir, that saw that, and still goes along with it that it was real. They're either, sir, some sort of a paid troll, right? Government troll, paid troll. I don't know what you want to call that person. They're paid opposition, or they're completely incompetent in multiple ways because they don't know how to evaluate evidence. They can't look at CGI. They don't know how firearms work. They don't know what happens when firearms strike different kinds of objects. I mean, it was over the top. And then when we get to the Buffalo was almost designed exactly the same kind of premise as the New Zealand shooting. And it was full of CGI from the shell casings coming out of the gun, from him shooting victims and no results. You can't see any blood. You can't see any damage from the round. From the crisis actors that were in there were completely blew it and were, their statements were inconsistent to what actually happened. we could just tell that it was fake, sir. It was completely staged with the CGI. And again, I like to point out, when you see CGI, okay, Hollywood CGI, doctored video, and you see CGI, you can't say, well, maybe just that section was CGI, but, you know, maybe just some of these people got shot. It doesn't work like that. If you just find one thing like that. And I would like to point out that when Anderson Cooper got caught on green screen for Sand Hook, he was pretending to be at Sand Hook, and then when he was there, half of his face kind of disappeared and his nose drifted off. Even Alex Jones caught that. And it's like, okay, now we know that it's fake because Anderson Cooper is pretending to be somewhere that he's not, along with this witness that he had with him. So they do these kind of things, sir. They were caught red-handed with a smoking gun. Both those things were completely debunked. We can see the CGI and the fakery, and we know they were 100% were a false flag. And again, sir, you nailed both of them right on the money. I don't know what was going on with those guests, other than I can think there was some kind of a pay troll because they weren't evaluating any of the evidence whatsoever.
Danny, it was so bizarre. And, you know, one of their claims, it seems to be their motive, is that I, Brian, are supposed to think everything is fake. Well, I mean, that's literally absurd. For example, I mentioned right off the bat Chicago crime statistics. I mean, look, if you go back, beginning with Sandy Hook, take the events that I've actually published books on. Sandy Hook, Boston bombing, Orlando, Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, that's 5. Las Vegas, 6. We know, of course, Nashville, 7. We know Uvalde, 8. Buffalo, 9. We're now going to talk about Allen, 10. Suppose there are a dozen or 13. Well, since 2012, we're now 2022, it's about one a year on the average. Well, in Chicago, you got shooting incidents in the last 7 days, 58 shooting incidents in Chicago in the last few days. 58 shooting incidents in Chicago in the last few days. Well, I'm not disputing the reality of those. That's in the last 7 days. So there are just literally thousands and thousands of these incidents that all appear to be perfectly legitimate. The ones Brian, focus upon are ones that are politically significant. They're being used or in the press. They're being touted. They're being used to promote a political agenda. Those are the ones we're scrutinizing. And I do not know of a single case where I drew a conclusion before reviewing the evidence. You got to look at the evidence and assess each one individually on its own ground. So I find this whole effort of them to demonize me by saying I think everything is fake is ridiculous. It has no basis. And others have said to me, including you, Danny, how much you appreciate that I am evidence-based. And in all these cases, when I discuss these events, I bring in the evidence, I show the evidence, discuss it in detail. I mean, to me, it's just, there's no basis or foundation in reason for their attacks. And these attacks are so unscrupulous, and they involve so many ad hominems, and they're so lacking in an evidential basis. I find them, frankly, insulting.
Well, sir, they're actually kind of embarrassing because they're not using any of the evidence. You know, I would like to see a remake of that show with the two of them actually showing some sort of evidence that shows that those events were real. I mean, again, I don't know how much we're going to go through that today, but, you know, the New Zealand was over the top. The Buffalo was over the top. You know, let's talk about the Tennessee thing for a minute. I just want to bring that up again. People have to really understand, you know, that these events go by. The media doesn't really follow up on them. But Tennessee was so over the top, sir, that Tennessee was actually shot in 2 different days. We had what's called a drill day. And then when they launched it for, you know, into the world on the public, they had what's called a public day, I guess you want to call it, and then they had the drill. And what we discovered through analyzing it frame by frame, of course, we were open-minded to it until we went through and found the evidence that we found. But I'll just cut to the chase on the drill when they were going through the school pretending to look for the criminal. When they found him in that room, they shot at him with a handgun. For some reason, the guys with the rifles didn't really shoot at him, just the guy with the Glock pistol. But we see him dead, and they approach him on the ground, and they obscured his face. Why did they blur his face? We already know what he looks like. We saw the transsexual person walking through the hallways and all that. We got a clear shot of him wearing the red hat, carrying the 9mm rifle, not an AR-15, I'd like to point out. I'd also like to point out that the address to that school was 33.
Yes.
Even the magazine for that gun I discovered is a 33-round Glock magazine.
Yeah, there were three children and three adults, 33 again, dead on the set. Entered the first floor, went up to the second, another three. There's so many signs here. And the school was empty. The parking lot was empty. You've got it right, Danny. This was filmed on a day when no one was there. I mean, this is just unbelievably blatant and obvious. Go ahead.
Well, and then we have the team that went in wearing obscure clothing, T-shirts and whatnot. Never happened, sir. They would have all the ballistic gear on. You could tell it was a drill they were running. But when they went around the corner and they saw the suspect, they were going up to make sure the suspect was dead. Well, right away, I had noticed that his legs were contorted in a way that a human couldn't really bend their legs. Okay, and it just didn't look right. It looked like somebody threw a dummy on the ground. And I started to think about it. And I said, that looks like a dummy to me, but the face was obscured. Okay, and one of the things I noticed is that when he was shooting the Glock pistol at him, I noticed there were no shell casings coming out of the Glock. And I have a lot of time on Glock handguns. And you can see the shell casing on the corner of your eye go off when you're actually firing it. You're aware of the shell casings going out big time on that firearm. So I knew something was wrong. But then when we zoom in on the contorted body with the bent legs, that it wouldn't even happen if the legs weren't broken. Nobody could, even a gymnast would have a hard time. A female gymnast, I don't think, could fold yourself up like a pretzel like that. But when I saw the legs contorted, we zoomed in, and the shooter changed his shoes in the middle of the shot.
Well, I mean, what you're saying is there are different shoes on the body lying there than on the alleged perp walking through the hallway. Yeah, of course, Danny. Yeah.
Right. He came in the building, sir, and he was wearing a pair of blue Puma shoes with a white stripe. Okay, and he didn't have a backpack on. So I want to point that out. It's not like, you know, if somebody said, well, he had a backpack, maybe he changed his shoes, you know, but he didn't have a backpack, so there was nowhere on his body to store a pair of large shoes like that. And then we see him laying on the ground contorted with a blurred face. His shoes now are wearing a colorful striped Vans-style shoe. Okay, so he changed his shoe. Okay, and I really started to think about that. I thought, man, that's really strange. He changed his shoe, so they made a mistake, and they filmed the drill on a separate day because the actor had a different pair of shoes on. And they forgot to get the right shoes. But then what happened, sir, is Brian Davidson came along and slowed the video down in slow-mo because I was so focused on the gun and no casing. And when you slow that down frame by frame, you actually can see a plastic BB or simunition come out of the Glock pistol, sail across the room in slow motion. You can see it's most people know what an airsoft gun is. It's like a game that teenagers play where it shoots a plastic BB out of an air gun, and they wear masks and hockey masks, and you know, it's kind of like tag with this plastic BB or paintball. So but everybody has to wear a mask. Well, I started thinking about it, and I saw that BB go across the room, bounce off the wall, and ricochet to the left two or three times in that segment when he's firing that Glock handgun. So I said, okay, now that is really a smoking gun. We have the shoes. Okay, so if any person that has any sort of investigative skills, has any cognitive skills, has any critical thinking skills, right away you know the shoes kills the thing as a drill. There's no way that the person could change the shoe. But then when it made sense with the face blurred, as I told you, and the contorted body, Because when Brian just slowed down the video and we saw those plastic BBs shoot across the room and bounce off of the wall, they weren't bullets coming out of the gun. Okay, now we know that it was definitely a body double or a dummy on the ground with the contorted legs, and why they blurred the face. They blurred the face because they didn't want us to see that it was not the same person. It was a dummy. And the reason why, sir, is because the ammunition or the plastic BB still comes out of the gun at a couple hundred feet per second. It could put your eye out. And usually when the players during a drill, when the police are using these guns, they wear like a hockey mask and face shields and goggles because they don't want to injure someone's face, their eyes, or whatever. It could do serious damage. Well, they couldn't go ahead and put a hockey mask or goggles on the suspect because that would be very suspicious. So what they did is they threw a dummy in there, sir. They put a dummy on the ground. That's why the legs were contorted. And guess what? They forgot to change the shoes on the dummy.
Yes.
And the dummy happened to have those other shoes on.
Yes.
They got caught. And then I'd also like to point out that I was listening to an investigator from Nashville that worked for Nashville PD for several years. And he was on Michael Jaco's show, and he confirmed with his contacts that were still working for Nashville that they had just ran a drill at that school the week prior. And he confirmed that with his contacts that worked within the police department. So that's just
Gregory, on the air, I'll call you at the break. I'll call you at the break.
And then we saw Media Day shot on a different day when they brought in the fire trucks and all the TV cameras right when the kids were walking out, and they staged all of that stuff on a completely different day. So that was a complete hoax, sir, caught with two smoking guns. We got the shoe change. We got the plastic BBs coming out of the gun. I mean, so if anybody wants to say that Tennessee was real and that it happened, they're simply, sir, they either have cognitive dissonance, they just don't want to know, they're embarrassed, they've been conned, they're a paid shill. Something's going on, sir. But again and again and again, we're showing these things are fake, phony, and they're staged, each and every one of them, sir.
Well, before we proceed, let me just say, I mean, I've held such a high opinion of Dave Scorpio in the past. I'm just flabbergasted. I mean, it's like he pivoted on a dime. I'm stunned. I would be glad to bring Scorpio back on the show. And if he wants to bring Mike Sledge or Clint Eastwood with him, so be it. But I'd like this to be a serious discussion and not nonsense loaded with ad hominems that have no argumentative weight. I mean, if these guys have some kind of chip on their shoulder, if they have some kind of grudge, if they think that I'm not being responsible in my research, lay it out. I'm going to send Scorpio today's show, Danny, with an invitation, and you would be welcome, Brian would be welcome to join, but I mean, I'll be happy to field it myself. It's just in the face of all this very thorough and painstaking research, just as you're illustrating here today and reviewing Nashville, how anyone can have any doubt that the cases that we're isolating, identifying as staged, as fake, which are being used to promote a political agenda, are not staged or fake is just beyond me. And as I say, this old idea that for Fetzer, or Fatzer in their terminology, that I'm just going whole hog and everything is fake is just so literally and figuratively absurd. I can't believe it. Now, Danny, we want to go back to that very bizarre case at the McDonald's where we had the guy with a gun and he was reported. And then the officer showed up and wind up shooting him three times in the head when he's on the ground. Now, that's so bizarre. Danny, I got the video here. So let's see if we can work it in before the break and then pick it up on the other side. Here we go. Disturbing content, yes. You can comment if you want, Danny.
Pretty bad. You can judge everything.
Now, it turns out to be a stolen U-Haul. He's driving a U-Haul. Turns out to be a stolen U-Haul.
by a recently released black cat. Hey, sir. John Newhall?
Yeah.
Hey, can you talk to me real quick over here, quick? All right, we're going to go right over here, man.
What did I do?
What?
I said, what did I do?
All right. Hey, sir, here. All right. Ready to be detained, okay? So this report is stolen.
Why? Since when?
You're not in a restaurant, you're just being detained, okay?
What's report is stolen?
Hold the channel, send me a unit to...
He just told us.
North Walmart.
What the...
Wow!
Sir, you're done. Get out my gun. Single one, cover my gun! What's report is stolen? No, get off my gun. Take a one. Just throw it off. Take a one.
Just Johnny.
You're not going down right now, right? Get off my gun.
No, you're
not. I'm not going.
Look.
Get off my gun! Get off my gun! Go off my gun! Go off my gun!
Please just get back.
Get off my gun! Hey, sir. John Newhall?
Yeah.
Hey, can you talk to me real quick over here, quick? All right, we're going to go right over here, man.
What did I do?
What?
I said, what did I do?
All right. Hey, sir, here. All right. Ready to be detained, okay? So this report is stolen.
Why? Since when?
You're not in a restaurant, you're just being detained, okay?
What's report is stolen? All right.
So you told me, Bravo, hold the channel, send me a unit to Sitco up here at North Walmart.
What the...
This, of course, now is a body cam.
He's trying to grab the...
What's the report?
No, get off my gun. Take a one.
We're coming up on the break, Danny. We won't be able to see it all.
We're not going down here, all right? Get off my gun.
If you'd like to, maybe you can speed it up for me.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
A
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Danny, I've been playing the tape, but now we got the officer coming to his assistance, hauling him off of him in the car. Here we go.
Keep going, man. Keep going, man. Don't even bother. Leave him how he is.
I need the location.
Pendle. McDonald's. Huh? Where are you headed, bro? Do you have any idea?
I don't know.
This guy at?
Hey, sir. Can I meet you, Hall?
This is a body cam again.
Hey, we're going to go right here, man.
What did I do?
What?
I said, what did I do?
Okay. Hey, sir, here. All right? We're going to just be detained, okay? Since your report is stolen.
Why? Since when?
You're not in a restaurant. You're just being detained, okay?
What's report is stolen?
Sir, you're done. Get out my gun.
I'm just stunned he grabbed his gun. Stunned.
Take a look.
Danny, I think we got a lot there, footage, and of course I continued running it over the break. So anyone who is listening to the radio, when you see it, you'll see all the footage when it's posted on my BitChute channel. Danny, I'm just astonished this guy grabbed for his gun. It was so blatant. I mean, look how casually it was feigning. He didn't have any idea the U-Haul was stolen when, of course, he stole it. I mean, this is outrageous. Your thoughts in detail.
Well, sir, this is typical criminal behavior. This is a recently released felon. Should have never been let out of jail. But he was out on on parole, right back to criminal behavior. He stole the U-Haul truck, and he was caught at the gas station by a patrolman for that agency that spotted the vehicle and ran the plate, and it was stolen, came back stolen. He probably had some more details. It's a shame that he sort of tipped his hand pretty quickly in that gas station when he pulled the cuffs. As soon as you pull the handcuffs, sir, on a felon that's, you know, been in prison, he knows he's about ready to lose his freedom. He knows he's going right back to his cage and going right back to that lifestyle. And that would have been a great opportunity in the left hand to hit him with the pepper spray right there. That would have disabled him. But unfortunately, he didn't. And then he got distracted. The officer got off on his radio. You can actually see the suspect shift over. Usually when you stand by a suspect, you want to do what's called kind of stand in a bladed stance where your firearm is away from the suspect. Your left arm is kind of facing him, so he can't reach and grab your gun. And that officer was standing right on top of that guy, way too close. You can see the suspect shift over closer to his gun side to actually make the move, and then the fight was on. So that was quite real. You know, that suspect, I don't understand what he was thinking. It would have been better off for him to go to jail or back to jail with the stolen vehicle. He probably would have had to go back and resume his old sentence plus whatever he got, but that would have been better than, you know, him being dead or going for life or getting possibly the death penalty if he would have got that officer's gun.
So now, Danny, it was unclear to me. Did he actually shoot the officer?
No. What happened, sir, is I'd like to point out his mindset. So people have to understand, okay, rather than lose his freedom, the suspect, sir, could have actually ran. He was sort of athletic. So he could have just bolted and taken off running. Okay, the officer wouldn't have shot him, would have maybe given chase, but he could have ran. But instead, for whatever his deranged criminal mind, he thought, you know, I'm going to grab this officer's gun. I'm going to kill him or shoot him. And then I'm just going to get in my U-Haul and, you know, ride off into the sunset and live another day. You know, he'd have the whole world after him at that point. They don't think criminals. They have no critical thinking skills. That's why they are criminals. They're stupid, and that was just really a stupid move. He would have been better off running. But what happened is the struggle went on. They got into the car. The car got started somehow. Don't know who exactly started, but in slow-mo, you can see the criminal's foot on the accelerator. You can see the criminal's actually the one that opened the door So he was going to use the officer's car to get away while he was taking the gun. He in fact, is the one that opened the door. So the officer didn't lock the door when he exited the vehicle. And the car ended up going across the street, crashing into the McDonald's drive-thru. And then we see a bunch of officers rush over. And I believe it was the officer's gun that fired in the struggle. He hit the suspect, I believe, a few times, not killing him. And then one of the officers came over, the big black gentleman came over finally when he realized what was going on. He ripped the suspect out of the car and point blank shot him in the head three times and put him down. And pretty good move. I'm sure if he wasn't black, we'd hear all kinds of controversy on, you know, you shot him in the head, you didn't have to shoot him or whatever. But we can see that was real, sir. We can see the bullet's impact when we slow it down. We can actually see the blood and the kind of sort of the gore. So that's a real shooting, sir. That's what a real shooting looks like. And I'd just like to point out that there's thousands, tens of thousands of these violent felons being released out into the public. They have no way of taking care of themselves. They shouldn't be released into society whatsoever. And they're going out and they're committing these violent criminal acts against police, against citizens, you know, against everybody. It's quite a nuisance being done on purpose. They've been weaponized. And this is just another example. I feel sorry for that officer. You can see they were trying to cut his clothes off and take his vest off looking for a gunshot.
Yeah.
They asked him if he was shot. He said, I don't know. I don't think he was shot. In the subsequent report I read that he never was shot.
Yeah.
It's just his gun was going off in the car. He had blood on him. The blood was from the suspect, not from him. But he was shocked and they didn't know and they wanted to check. I thought it was kind of funny. Actually, reflecting back where they're all saying, hey, forget about him. He's done. He's done. He's dead. They're referring to the suspect because the one black guy knew he shot him in the head three times.
Sure.
He wasn't going to get up. There was one guy that was going to go cuff him, and he told him, forget about it. Leave that guy.
Right.
And he didn't cuff him. But again, sir, we covered this on the subsequent show that we have a lot of these violent felons running the streets with these gun crimes. They don't want to go back to prison. They just want to go about their business committing felonies, you know, and it really is a bad situation. We have these parole boards that are letting these guys out of jail, and it's creating a very violent state within the United States. And
well, see,
better than to take guns away from people so we can't protect ourselves against violent felons like this.
Well, look at the genius of George Soros diagnosing a weak link in the law enforcement mechanism, the DAs. You got DAs in there. We're going to turn the felons back on the street and you create chaos in society. I mean, think how much trouble it takes to investigate a crime after it's committed, to track down the suspect, to put the case against him, to bring it to court, to get a conviction, to get him incarcerated. That costs hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, just to get him into the jail cells where they belong. And then you have these libtard DAs turning them out on the street where they can perform more mayhem. I mean, do the Democrats really understand what they're doing to society?
Sir, they full well know the World Economic Forum and the Bilderbergs. They know they're behind this, sir. In my opinion, they're controlling, just like they control the DAs, they've got control of many of the parole boards. People have to understand it's just a small group of people. Sometimes it's a panel of three people. Sometimes it's five people. And you know what? Once somebody's in prison, with a stroke of a pen, these parole boards can just let somebody out. It doesn't matter what they do, what they want. If you notice, they're letting the most violent felons out of prison that have no business out on the street. They're not letting people out that ride bad checks or anything like that. They're letting out the worst of the worst of the worst. And to me, they've done nothing more than weaponize these felons. These felons are going out killing innocent civilians and police. We've had a rash of police being shot lately from these recently released felons. And again, this is being done by design, sir, on purpose. Just like the vaccine, they were depopulating with the vaccine. They're depopulating, sir, with the criminal base by letting these felons. And I wanted to show this today because on the first report, there were a lot of vagueness. We couldn't see a lot of things. We were, you know, we didn't have the full report. Well, now we have the full scope. We have all the body cam footage, and we have a lot of film. And now we can actually see the suspect. There was a lot of gripings on, well, he didn't have to shoot him in the head and all this kind of business. Well, now we can actually see the suspect trying to grab the officer's gun.
And Danny, having heard the shots coming from the car, for all they knew, he'd actually killed the officer. So, you know, I think that was an appropriate, precautionary, prudent thing to do, pull him off and take him out.
I'd like to give you the mindset. Anybody that's willing to try, they used to go through drill after drill after drill about dealing with suspects, how to stand with your weapon. We also did drill after drill about simulating somebody grabbing your firearm out of the holster. And holsters have progressed. They usually have different apparatuses on them to make them hard to draw the firearm unless it's the officer. They've come quite a long way from just the standard leather holster. And that's it's nice to see technology make its way into that. But the mindset, sir, of a suspect that would actually try to grab an officer's firearm, you think about that, sir, that's the most over-the-top blatant thing you can possibly do. You're basically signaling the officer that you're planning on harming him or killing him. There is no reason in the world whatsoever to grab an officer's gun out of the holster, especially when you're a civilian. You have no business touching the gun. It's not your gun. Unless he were to hand it to you in some kind of an emergency, there's no reason for you to do that. That guy was a convicted felon. He was going to grab the firearm. He was going to kill that cop. And then he was going to take his car, possibly. And he was going to take off and be on the run and then think about it later. Okay? And that kind of a struggle to take place, that one off, all the officers knew what happened and what they were rolling up to. They can hear it over the radio when he was screaming, the suspect grabbed my gun, we're struggling. So that went out over the airwaves. Everybody en route to that call knew what they were getting themselves into. And when they saw that car and they saw the struggle in the car, that guy knew that he was dealing with a violent felon. He used his muscle, he pulled him out, and he just shot him in the head. It ended the threat, and I commend him for that. He handled it exactly the way I would have handled it, the way I think a lot of guys would have handled that. And I think it's important for the public to see that. You're never going to see this on the news. They're never going to talk about this because they want to keep the agenda going. They want to try to hide who the criminals are and what's going on. But this is a big epidemic in this country right now, sir, is these violent felons being let out of prison to victimize the police and victimize us. And it's being done on purpose, by design, sir. Just like the DAs are letting them out of jail or dropping charges, you have parole boards that are letting people out. And we could have a show 8 hours a day for a week, and I could show these type of videos over and over and over again with these violent felons all across the country doing this. It's really a bad situation. And people have never needed their weapons more in a time in the United States than now to protect ourselves from these violent felons walking the street.
Well, Danny, you know, the more I think, I mean, we want to do a lot about the Allen mall shooting, and I've got it all set up. I was hoping to work in callers today, but I think what's better is for us to go through the Allen shooting in rather thorough detail. And then I'm going to invite Paul and Scorpio especially to come on the show on Monday, and we'll do a sequel. And if you can join me, if Scorpio wants to make an argument for having Mike Sledge or this guy Clint Eastwood come on, I'll listen to the argument. But it seems to me they've already discredited themselves. I mean, and it's very odd how they claim that the three of them had come on the show when Scorpio didn't appear. I mean, what's going on there, Danny? Do you have any more of their thoughts about this before we turn to Alan?
Well, sir, you know, without going into too much depth, you know, I can go back to when I first heard you on the radio talking about JFK and then Sandy Hook. And I had never known you. I didn't know who you were at that point. And I saw you presenting evidence on JFK, particularly I'll never forget you showing the Oswald in the doorway. You showed a photograph of Oswald in the doorway of the Book Suppository building when the limo was driving by, Kennedy's limo was driving by. And I was quite taken back by that. And you explained how he couldn't have done it because he was standing on the doorway. Plus you went through all the other scenarios that we know about today. And then moving forward, I saw you in the Sandy Hook breaking down all the falsehoods of Sandy Hook. And I thought, man, you know, I really became intrigued with that because you weren't just simply telling a story. You were going over piece by piece the evidence and explaining why you were saying that. And that is why I was so drawn to listening to you. I thought, finally, we got a guy that's showing the evidence. He's just not throwing a story. And, you know, I was able to look into the evidence myself. So it kind of made me a fan, sir, right away of listening to you. So these two particular guys or three guys you're talking about, I don't know what they were doing. I don't know why they came on the show and said what they did. Personally, I'm surprised you even have them on the show. I think they were just there to give you a hard time. I don't really understand it because they certainly didn't evaluate evidence. And as we're going to show this evidence coming up here, along with some photographs I pulled from the video, I would be very interesting if you do a follow-up with me, without me, whatever. Maybe you have a follow-up with Brian or whatever, and you go through this. And I want them to dispute these photos, and I want them to dispute this video. And then I want him to tell me that this really happened.
Danny, with the amount of material we got here, I'm going to ask Mitchell to kill the break at the bottom of the hour. Normally, I'd use that to bring in callers, but since I'm going to defer, and I'm going to explicitly invite Paul to join on Monday with Scorpio and with you, and if Brian's free. So, Mitchell, please, if you hear me, go ahead and kill the break here, because I want to give Danny as much time as possible. Go through Alan. We got a huge amount set up here. Danny, let me begin with that very first video. This is now a news report about the Alan shooting to create a background here for understanding what's going on. Here we go.
We are following breaking news from the Alan Premium outlets where police are responding to a shooting involving multiple people. There is a massive police response there right now, and it is still very active. In the last moments, we've seen people being evacuated from those stores with hands above their heads. The Collin County Sheriff's Office says that there are some victims, but we don't know how many or how seriously injured those victims are. We have seen Department of Public Safety deputies on scene, Allen and McKinney police officers, multiple ambulances and fire crews from cities all around Collin County and the Metroplex. We know that a lot of the activity has been focused around an H&M store where witnesses say some of this happened. We know some workers in the shops are still on lockdown, hiding in back offices. We do have Sky 4 on the scene. I want to give you a live look at the scene. This is this evacuation we have seen playing out over the last several
huge long string of people coming out of the mall. Huge long string.
Many times we've seen people's hands above their heads trying to make clear to officers that they are not a threat. We've not heard any word on a suspect at this point in time, but as you can see, it looks like police have just kind of continued this process of slowly clearing people from stores here. Again, the H&M area is where we have heard or seen a lot of the intention in this investigation, but this entire area, as you might imagine, is basically locked down from law enforcement closing down streets, first responders still arriving from different municipalities across the North Texas areas. And as you can imagine, on a very nice day, a lot of people are at these outlets, and it is going to be a lengthy process to clear this area, to investigate the scene, and to do these evacuations as we've seen playing out right now. We've had multiple crews that have been on the scene and arrived within the last hour or so. And they have been talking with people there, gathering information. Our Peyton Yeager is going to join us by the phone right now. Peyton, what can you tell us and what have you learned so far?
Hey, Blake. I am right outside of Allen Premium Outlets. I'm on Chelsea Boulevard. We just arrived on scene. We're at what looks to be like a reunification area where people are walking out with their hands up. They tell us that authorities are going store by store, clearing the stores, and people were huddled in the back, taking shelter and locking themselves inside the back of these stores. So now it appears police are going store by store, trying to clear the store and let these shoppers leave. But right now they're coming out with their hands up, and we have hundreds of people across the street from, I'm across from Forever 21 near a storage place, where people hugging and reuniting. I've seen children run up to their parents. Some people are coming to pick up their loved ones. They tell us, I've heard from multiple people that they heard multiple rounds of gunfire outside the H&M, so an outside area. And then people started running into nearby stores and taking cover. But I have McKinney police on scene. DPS is here. Allen police. We have multiple people are still filing out of the Allen Premium outlet. Like,
Peyton, what can you tell from kind of the body posture of law enforcement on the scene? Does it appear that they are still actively running around, or does it seem more settled, a little less chaotic than some of the first images we saw from the scene about an hour ago?
Yeah, it seems like everyone is, I'm sorry, there's an Allen EMS going by. It does seem like law enforcement is moving at a more of a controlled stance, trying to just set up a perimeter. No one is really running or moving into a frantic motion, but right now they're really just working on corralling the shoppers into a safe area.
Yeah, and Peyton, the last I heard, we didn't have an official reunification site just yet, but obviously there may be people watching, trying to figure out how they can pick up their family members. You said you've seen some people reuniting. Is there a good area that you see people kind of meeting and able to access and maybe pick up and reunite with their loved ones?
I'm on Chelsea Boulevard. There's a storage place right here. There is a parking lot where we've seen people quickly pick up their loved ones. But for right now, everyone is pretty much just standing here watching what goes on. A lot of people tell me they have vehicles that they will not be able to access for quite a while. So I think they're either waiting for the access to the vehicles or for someone to come pick them up off Chelsea Boulevard. But for right now, I mean, we have people standing on the sidewalk, people standing in the medians, really unsure of what's happening and where to go.
Okay, Peyton, we'll let you go so you can continue to gather information out there at the scene, and we're continuing to look at these live pictures at this point in time of people filing out of the Allen Premium outlets. Orderly, it seems at this point in time, law enforcement gathering that kind of going store to store and checking on people and clearing the scene. Obviously, law enforcement trains for these types of situations involving places like malls, for example. You got to imagine this is something that departments like Allen will have drilled for, know how to do this, so it is not any more chaotic than it needs to be. But again, a reminder for those just joining that we do know that there was a shooting at the Allen Premium outlets, that there were victims, but we do not know at this point in time how many. We do not have information on a suspect at this point in time, but we are talking with those agencies.
Okay, Danny, we got takeaways. Let's stand by and continue. Remember,
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Yeah.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Now, Danny, as you're aware, but our radio audience not, during the break, I was playing that footage, and it was almost exactly the same length as the break from the Allen Mall shooting, from which you've extracted a whole series of a dozen or more specific frames and images. So I wanted to set it up so we could move forward here, given the amount of time we have available today. And then we'll have the sequel on Monday, where I'm inviting Paul and Scorpio. I'm less enthusiastic about Mike Sledge and Clint Eastwood. What are your thoughts, Danny? I mean, it seems to me they've done a pretty good job of discrediting themselves, but I haven't had a direct exchange with Scorpio. And, you know, I the whole thing, honest to God, has just floored me. Your thoughts?
Well, sir, I'd like to play that video, at least part of it again.
Yes.
It's made up of about six different segments.
Yes.
Together.
Yes.
And, I got that footage, and of course the media didn't show it. Now we know why the media didn't show it, because it's full of hoaxes and CGI. And I wasn't able to extract a lot of pictures from it. We're just going to show how fake it was.
Okay.
Down to the fake bodies. But this Sledge and this Clint Eastwood and all this stuff, you know, I really almost don't want to appear with them because I'm not as composed as you are, sir. And I'm not as nice as you are. I would kind of put this in their face. And it would probably turn into a yelling match with that guy coming up again.
Yeah.
Because he's just simply not looking at the evidence. So I just want to make sure I go through the evidence, whether I agree with them or not.
Sure.
Or we do a follow-up after you're with them.
Okay.
And I want to make sure we get this all shown.
Okay, you want me to go back to the video then? And do you want the sound? Do you want the sound?
From the beginning, and then right when it starts, I'm going to tell you to pause. So if you can start it from the beginning.
You got it. Here it is, Danny. Now, do you want this?
If you can pause it right about now, I'll tell you when to pause it. Right? Nope, not yet. Let it go right there. Right there. Stop. If you notice right there, and I slowed it down and zoomed in, I can't do that obviously now, but you can see half of the head disappears on the suspect when he gets out of the car. It's very grainy. And I can see some CGI right there. It's going to be hard for our radio listeners and other people. But if you get your hands on the raw footage right there, you can see part of his head disappears, kind of like the wing of 9/11.
Okay.
And the planes. And that's not normal. So there's evidence of CGI right there, sir. Go ahead and roll it. And you can see the suspect almost walks in front of a car and gets ran over by a car.
Yeah.
Going.
Yeah. Kind of odd.
He didn't even pay attention to a guy standing there with a rifle.
Yeah, that's strange too.
And then here we go. He turns the corner. It's really grainy footage. which, you know, cell phone footage is at least 4K these days. It's been very clear. So this footage is very strange. Then we don't see any ambulances or any real activity in the mall. We see a couple. Now we're on a different frame. We're in a completely different video.
Right.
Completely different. Everything different. And we see some people running through the parking lot. It's like a different take. We see a couple of people. Now we're on a different one again.
Yes.
And now we see some bodies laying on the ground. So whoever spliced this, we see bodies. We saw a person sitting there on the ground, which doesn't make sense. And we're going to go over that. We see a referee standing there with an orange vest. We see the suspect's car now in the video. We see glass broken out. We see the cops standing around with their hands in their pockets out the window. We see a cowboy come by with a short barrel rifle. We see a guy there in shorts standing there with a fishing hat on that's working with the police. We see a state policeman in there in the crowd. They're not looking at him. He's got his hands in his pockets during the drill as they run the drill. Sir, we see out the parking lot. There's no ambulance. There's no other medical people, no sirens. There's no nothing going on like you would see during an active shooting. We see a fake dead body laying on the ground right there. That's a dummy laying on the ground. I'm sorry, folks. That's not a real body. The police just walk right over them. We see the dead fake shooter off in the background. And they're simply hustling people from one store to another. That makes no sense. They would just have them take off. But then we see a guy sitting on a chair with his hands on his face. And we see a guy with a cape, jeweler bag going, oh, interesting. There's a dead guy out the window. He has no concern. He's not stressed. Nobody's upset. We see a fake body on the ground, a fake blood. We see an AR-15 sitting there with a carry handle. They zoom in on the body.
And that blood, Danny, looks to me like a plastic sheet or something that does not look like real blood. I don't think they wanted real.
It's not real blood, so it doesn't coagulate like that. You can see the waves and how thick the blood
is.
It looks like some kind of plaster of Paris with some red.
I think it's a plastic sheet that's supposed to look like blood, Danny. I don't think they wanted to get the blood on the sidewalk. I mean, how ridiculous.
Yeah, that's not real blood. You know, I've shown this to a doctor that looked at it, told me that's not red blood. I already knew it, but it's not real, sir. That's a fake body there. You can see the right hand is fake, the fingers, and you can also see that is not real blood. The blood alone, sir, ends this whole thing as a facade. It kills the whole drill, and it kills the whole thing. That's really all you need is that one spot. But again, we're going to go through many of the anomalies. That's one. And that ends it. We can't say, well, maybe that was the fake dummy, but then maybe some other people were really shot.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't work like that. Okay.
That seems to be the attitude of... That seems to be the attitude of the Mike. That seems to be the attitude of the Mike Sledges and the Clint Eastwoods and I don't know, maybe even Scorpio, that you can mix in some real dead people with fake. I mean, I don't get it, Danny. Do they think they're going to recruit crisis actors for these drills if they wind up dead? If any of them wind up dead? I mean, this is colossal stupidity. Are these people incapable of thinking things through? It's embarrassing.
Most people don't have critical thinking skills, and we pointed that out. Now, that's not everybody, and that's not your audience. Your audience is quite sophisticated most of the time, and I believe that's why a lot of your audience, including me, before I met you, tunes in, because of your sophistication and the way you break down evidence. With every event, whether it was Sandy Hook, whether it was JFK, whether it was, you know, just all kinds of events you covered way back in the day, you know, years ago, that drew me to watching your show was it was all evidence-based, and it was very interesting to me to see, you know, all you bring out and show and go over the evidence, and you're still doing that to this day. So, which is why, again, I'll say I'm such a fan, but that picture right there of that fake body on the ground with the fake blood, the AR-15, that is enough to end it. And if somebody wants to sit there and argue and tell me, well, they're a weapons expert, okay. That's a real AR-15. It's got a carry handle on it. There's a front post sight on it. We can go through all that. Fine. But you want to tell me that's a real body laying on the ground and that is real blood? Okay. There's just no way to argue that, sir. Nobody in their right mind is going to be able to argue that that's real blood and that's a real body. And if you wanted to argue that the body's real, but then, okay, that's fake blood. maybe you can do that. But he's, you know, he's not moving. There's no movement along. We've seen crisis actors laying on the ground, breathing, you know, when they're pretending to be dead under a sheet or what have you. I mean, we've seen this over and over again. That is fake blood, sir, and that is all we need. But we can go ahead and go over all the photographs here. And I was able to pull out some very serious anomalies to show just how this is all fabricated and set up, sir, if you want to go ahead and start with.
There you go. There's the car, Daddy.
That's the suspect's car right there. So we see the door open to the car or whatever. There's not a lot to see right there. But let's move on to some of the other more critical photos. Now, stop right there, sir. What I want to say, before they zoom in on the bodies, we see a group of bodies there in the corner. This is supposedly after the shooting. Now, we're going to zoom in on that. But here's a big point I want to point out. You can see to the right, to the lower hand for our BitChute audience or the people that watch this on video, on the lower right-hand corner, you can see a girl sitting on the ground, Indian style, calm. She's on her cell phone.
Yeah.
And she's sitting there. She appears to have some kind of a jacket there and a little box with her. But she's sitting there very calm, cool, and collected with a bunch of dead bodies right around the corner. This would not happen in real life, sir. She would have ran and been long gone. She wouldn't be sitting there calm and relaxed. And I believe she wasn't supposed to be in this shot. And I think this was a mistake, her getting in the shot. She didn't know she was in the shot when they zoomed in on those bodies. Perhaps she was part of the drill and she was helping stage everything. I don't know why she was sitting there so cool and calm. But anybody that sees this photo with that little girl sitting there with her arms, you know it's over right there. That's enough right there. Okay, but we'll keep going. This is a staged event. There's no way someone would be sitting there. Now, I'd like to point out, sir, this is a smoking gun to me. If you look at the gentleman with the glasses with his mouth open, that's a mannequin, sir. That's not a real person. Okay? So, you know what? You can have subsequent shows with all the experts you can muster up, okay, including those guys you referred to, and I want them to tell me that guy with sitting there on the ground with the glasses and his mouth open is a real human. That's a fake dummy. I'd also like to point out that the girl that they have under her legs that they kind of threw down there for show, she's missing her left arm, okay? Her arm is gone. Now, in what world is that normal that her arm happens to be missing, okay? And I'm telling you right now, sir, those are staged fake bodies, especially the guy with the glasses and his mouth open. So for people that watch this on video, they can go ahead and go through these photos for themselves. They can get the link to the video and break it down themselves. But basically what we're doing is we're evaluating evidence. We're not giving a story. We're giving our opinion based on the video that they put out. They put it out, not us. And on what we see. And we see a girl there with an arm missing, and we see a fake dummy there with glasses.
And look at the leg by his left elbow there. That looks like a chicken wing. Look how thick it is in the thigh and how skinny in the rest, the calf. That doesn't look like a real leg, Danny.
No, sir. It does not at all. It looks like a fake resuscitation dummy or whatever they want to use, those fake dummies. They're, you know, we've seen them all over online. They use them for these drills. There's companies that advertise that they actually make these bodies for these drills. But again, the guy with the glasses, sir, with his mouth open, I'm going to stay on that, and the girl missing the left arm that's propped underneath his legs. Okay, if you want to, now, let's stop for a second. If you want to go ahead and say, well, maybe they just staged this scene for the media or something, but then the shooter was real, and he really shot some other people. There are some people, sir, that will... They have cognitive dissonance, and they might try to justify not being fooled or tricked by the media that some of it was real and some of it was fake. That's completely absurd and nonsense, sir. This is a false flag. This is a drill, and it was done in two parts. It was done on drill day with the officers and this on one day, and then on the next day, they did it with all that crowd coming out of the mall in front of the cameras. That was all staged. They did that on a separate day. And then what they do is they put it all together on one video and they play it on the news as if it's all happening in real time. And we've seen them do this over and over again. And this is just another instance. So we've probably done enough time on this photo. We can go through some of the other photos, but you can clearly see by the bodies. Now, I'd like to stop right there, sir. That guy in the orange vest, I zoomed in on him. You can see he has a metal box or an aluminum case there next to the officer. And there appears to be some blood. Behind him on the concrete. That's exactly where the little girl was sitting with her legs crossed, all calm, just a minute ago. The guy in the orange vest is a referee. He's running the drill. He's one of the people running the drill. You notice he's wearing torn jeans. He's wearing just a regular T-shirt with a vest. And he also has rubber gloves on. Now, why would the guy be standing there in an orange vest with a case there and wearing rubber gloves during a live shooting when bullets are whizzing by? It's not going to happen, sir. I also want to point out that this was taken by a drone. So did the police happen to have a drone ready to go flying around during an active shooting when the shooter's laying there on the ground and there's a drone already in place to catch this? No. We weren't supposed to see this, sir. This is... We've seen this in Uvalde with these referees walking around telling the police where to stand, what to do, and we're seeing it again, sir. These are no more than referees running the drill so the police know who they are, and this is the guy that was probably putting the blood on the ground. The reason why I say that, he's wearing the rubber gloves. There's just no way this would happen in real life. He wouldn't be standing there during an active shooting, okay? They wouldn't let a guy in an orange vest like this. He's not a cop. This is fake, sir. This shows without a doubt, I think this is a smoking gun. Here's one of the guys that was putting on the whole stage event right here. So we can move on. Now, here's another shot. I'd like to point out this is the drone footage. So again, how did a drone get in there? You can see the bodies are covered up around the tree now. And you can see the referee standing there talking to a couple of cops that are all relaxed and calm during an active shooting. And this guy's sitting there with his rubber gloves on. And his nice little orange vest, talking to the police, giving them direction, while the drone is flying over, getting a nice shot of it, sir. This is completely ridiculous to think. If you use critical thinking skills, where did the drone come from? Who's operating the drone? How did it get there, Johnny, on the spot during the shooting? How did the referee get there right during the shooting? Why is he wearing gloves? Why is there a metal box there? Why is everybody calm? There's a bunch of anomalies in this to show, sir, that this was a staged drill. This is not the same day when we saw all the media. This was done beforehand. Okay, stop right there. This is the police walking by one of the stores where it's like a clothing store. And you can see him stacking out upside. We're going to show one of the cops with his hands in his pockets, quite calm. No weapon drawn for him. He's kind of running the drill. And at the time, when you're watching the video, if you go back and watch it, they cue this guy actually leaves the stack. And what I mean by the stack is they were all behind the ballistic shield and they were going to enter the store. But this guy, for show, with a short barrel rifle, decides to leave the stack and he just walks down the sidewalk for no apparent reason. And he just wanted to show off for the camera wearing his cowboy hat as he walks by. No reason for this because the shooter is already down. There's no threat. Nobody has a weapon at all. This was done. This shot right here was done for the cameras. Next photo. Okay, stop right there. This is the guy that I pulled out of the video. You can see he's wearing a fishing hat, and he's wearing a leisure shirt, and he's wearing jeans, shorts, and leisure shoes, but he has an AR-15. He has no police identify features on him whatsoever. He does have a sidearm he's wearing, but again, this is a guy that showed up to a drill to be part of the drill. And you can see him run the drill when you watch that video over and over again. You can see the one officer with his hands in his pockets cue everybody up and tell him, go ahead and run it. And then this guy pops up right here. So here, this is not part of a SWAT team. This is not how somebody would show up to an active shooting with a fishing hat, sir. No bulletproof vest, wearing leisure shorts, jean shorts, and leisure shoes, carrying an AR-15. To me, in my mind, sir, this is another smoking gun right here. Okay, the next one is another still I pulled out as a curious, looks like a state patrolman or a highway patrolman. He's helping participate in the drill, standing in the back, not really doing much, just standing there being part of the scene, gazing through the window, not doing anything. He looks out of place, sir. And again, how is it that during an active shooting, the highway patrolman would be standing there? It would have been the SWAT team of the local PD or whatever. But again, we see that mixture of agencies involved, and that they do this, sir, because multiple agencies show up to these drills to participate and get the training.
And
all over the country all the time. They're just trying to tell us that this is a real event, and what we're seeing, sir, is a staged drill, and then they're playing it on the news and trying to tell us that it really is.
And I'll bet they're being paid a little bonus on the side, Danny.
Right. Now we can see the officer there with his hands in his pockets, totally calm, looking in the camera. He's stacking the two or three guys up behind the ballistic shield. There's no reason to use a shield because it's over. They can look inside this clothing store and see some people standing there. There's no threat. There's nothing going on. There's no reason for the ballistic shield at all. But you can see him run the drill here in the video. And this is another video. You can see the guy running it right there. He's got his hands in his pockets. He's all calm. He doesn't have his weapon out. He's not concerned at all. There's no threat. But yet we see the other guys with their guns out. There we go with there's the guy wearing the Converse shoes. That's the supposed shooter. We can see that's not a real body, sir. And we can see he's wearing the Converse shoes there. That's supposedly the shooter laying on the ground. You can see his AR-15 right there. Okay. Again, I'm glad you pulled up that picture because we can see the AR-15 with the carry handle has a front post on it. It's interesting how the weapon is laying on the ground pointing right at him. You can see his sunglasses, one lens missing. But what's really important about this, sir, and evidence does matter. Okay, I'm going to say it again. Evidence does matter, sir. You've been saying that for years and years and years with everything that you've ever investigated. And evidence matters. That is not real blood. Anybody that wants to argue that's real blood or that maybe, well, they put this video in there by mistake and they put this photo in there by mistake, but other people really got shot. Okay, you caught. No, sir. This is smoking gun. This completely destroys media day, all the people walking out that aren't distressed. They have no emotional trauma. Nobody has redness of the face, tears. No one's shaking. No one's convulsing like they do at a shooting. No one's stressed out. Even the cops get stressed out, as we pointed out last week, by shaking, convulsing. That one officer couldn't even put his gun away. He went into shock, you know, and everybody here is all calm, cool, and collected. That is fake blood, sir. And I can't wait to hear Scorpio argue to me that that's a real body and that's real blood. I'm looking forward to that. And that's just another photo of the fake blood and the fake person. Now, right there, sir, Holt, as the police were moving people from one store to another, which makes no sense instead of evacuating them out of there, they moved from one store to another. They walk by, the camera makes a mistake walking by, and you can see the fake body laying on the ground. There's no blood there, but no, it's kind of funny with all the police there. There's no medical there attending him. There's nobody checking on him. There's no police checking for pulse, doing any kind of first aid or anything on him. He's just laying there with his hat. And I surmise that to me, sir, that looks like a fake body, just staging the event for the drill. But we can see Mr. I call this guy the K jeweler shopper. He's nice and calm. He's got his cell phone out because he wants to get a picture so he can tell his wife about it when he gets home. And he's looking out the window going, gee, there's the dead shooter with an AR-15. That's very interesting. There's a comment in there from a couple of bystanders that are in there. They sound like they're black from the accents of their voice, like a kind of a southern accent. And you can hear one of them say, gee, I think that's an AK-15. Yeah, that's an AK-15.
AK-15.
No, it's not an AK-15. That's a damn RPG. He brought an RPG.
An RPG.
That's just comical crisis actors have living. This is why the media didn't want to show this video, because they knew it would be pulled apart and picked apart as a fraud, just like the New Zealand was pulled apart, just like the Buffalo. This is very comical, full of anomalies, sir, and fakeries. This is a complete false flag drill. We're seeing them stage it right here, and we're seeing that guy with the K jeweler. There's the dead shooter right there on the ground. They're moving the people from one office. They move them down about four or five different buildings down to another building and shuffle them into the stock room in the back. That makes no sense to me. Everybody's cool and calm. Nobody's stressed. Nobody's has any signs of emotional trauma, and they walk right over the stage dead body that's sitting right there. That's, we've just established that's not real blood. That's not real, sir. Now, right there's a good one. We can see the guy that's in charge of stacking up the men outside. He's got his hands in his pockets. Almost appears like he has a cup of coffee in his hand.
Yes.
You can clearly see his hand in his pocket. He has no weapon, no rifle, no handgun. His handgun is snapped tightly into the holster. He's under no threat whatsoever. And that's because he's running a drill, sir. This is a drill. Okay, if it was really a real action scene, his weapon would be out. He'd be already looking around for suspects, but he's too busy with his cup of coffee and his hand in his pocket. Now, this one, sir, is really interesting. This is another agency in the scene. Now we see the State Patrol, High Patrol. I don't know who that person is. It's a heavyset female holding a rifle. There's another guy wearing plain clothes. But somebody decided, sir, in the middle of a shooting, that they would go into one of these stores and get a chair from one of the restaurants or whatever they call it. They would bring the chair out onto the sidewalk, okay, and sit, stick it next to the dead shooter and the blood and the AR-15 and sit in the chair and just ponder on the death of the dead suspect. Now, does that make sense if you have critical thinking skills? How many witnesses, sir, would go inside and go, you know what, I think I'm going to go in and get a chair instead of running. I'm going to go ahead and stick it next to the dead body on the sidewalk with the fake blood, and I'm going to sit here and put my hands on my chin, and I'm going to mourn the death of this poor shooter that just shot up this mall. When you look at this, sir, this is a staged photo. I don't think this was supposed to be in the video. They got caught here running the drill. Somebody was obviously taking a break or staging the body of the dummy on the ground. That's why he was sitting in the chair. And the girl with the rifle looks up in the video like, oh, my God, they're videoing us. And she tries to move her hand and look like she's doing something. They're caught, sir. Nobody in their right mind would go get a chair from a business after the shooter was shot and bring it over to the body, stick it there within the blood. The police would never allow some civilian to do that, by the way. And then the police look over the civilian sitting in the chair with his hands on his chin. This is one of the most comical photos in the video I could find, sir. If anybody thinks it's real after seeing this, they completely, something's wrong with them, sir. There's just no way anybody can deduct from any of these photos that we've shown, sir, and this video that you've shown, that this is a real event. This was a staged drill. It was done on a different day, okay? This was drill day, and then they brought in and did media day with all the people coming out of the mall on a different day, and then they put it all together on the news and shot it as one event to make everybody think that this was a real shooting, sir. This was another staged drill, staged obviously for gun control. None of it was real. Nobody was just shot, and all these people were in on this, sir. We've proven without a doubt, and photographs and evidence, again, sir, done it over and over, and every single set, you didn't tell us a story.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Oh, it was wonderful. Acting up.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global